The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome to NFL Live. NFL players started to band together by position now in these specialty camps, and Lane Johnson will join us live from the O-Line Mastermind Summit. And the Cowboys will be on Hard Knocks for what, third time? Damian Woody takes you inside what that experience would be like for the boys and Big D. And the ESPYs are tomorrow night. Find out which NFL play is up for the best of the year. Hey, we're off and running on this Friday, and this is our crew, Ryan Clark, Damian Woody, and Jeff Darlington. I am Field Yates here from Bristol, and we start our day in New Orleans, where the Saints figure to have one of the more compelling quarterback competitions in the NFL this preseason. While Taysom Hill filled in for an injured Drew Brees last season, Jameis Winston is squarely in the mix for the job. Winston was re-signed to a one-year deal this offseason worth up to $12.5 million, much of which is available via incentives. Here's GM Mickey Loomis with more thoughts on the quarterback.
Well, first of all, look, he's going to be in a competition with Taysom. So we're really excited and high on Taysom, just as we are on Jameis. And it's going to be interesting to see how that, shakes out. Jameis has been fantastic. He's a smart football player. He's hardworking, just everything that you would want.
What's Taysom Hill's ultimate upside, Mickey, in your opinion?
He's a tremendous athlete, number one. He's got a tremendous arm. He's got tremendous speed, strength, and he's a smart football player as well, and he's got good leadership skills. So we're going to see how all this shakes out, but we're definitely high on Taysom.
All right, Ryan, you heard right there from Mickey Loomis. The team is high on Taysom Hill, but do you think he has a real shot at winning the starting quarterback job?
There's other kind of highs I could think of. This team is definitely high on Taysom Hill. Like, you look at the loyalty that they've shown Taysom Hill throughout his career, right? He gets the deal before last season. He gets the four starts in the seat last season because Drew Brees is injured. But we saw teams kind of start to catch up with him, whether it was the Philadelphia Eagles late or the Denver Broncos, when the Denver Broncos were starting a wide receiver at quarterback. So to me, if you are the New Orleans Saints, you want Jameis Winston to win this job. Jameis Winston is the better passer. Jameis Winston is a guy that we have seen excel at the quarterback position, even played in a Pro Bowl early on in his career. If Sean Payton can cut out the turnovers and now you get the explosive play that a guy like Jameis Winston can provide, I think that's the best opportunity for the Saints to be a winner this season.
Ryan, I can't remember who exactly said this. I think it was Brett Favre or someone, but it pertains to Jameis Winston and the 30 interceptions that he threw in his last year with the Bucs, and that is, you have to be really good to keep your job long enough to throw 30 interceptions. You've got to do everything pretty much perfect. And honestly, that's the thing I keep thinking about with Jameis. And I'll actually fast forward to Tom Brady's season last year with the Bucs. There was a four-game span in the middle of the season when Tom Brady threw 7 interceptions. By the way, you do the math, that would be 28 interceptions on the season if he kept up that average. And I think it had something to do with Bruce Arians' system. I know that there was some frustration with Brady at that point. Like, look, we're trying to basically score 14 points with one throw. And this is a situation that Jameis himself was in. Eventually, Brady was able to bring in more tailbacks, more tight ends, because he's Tom Brady. But Jameis didn't have that cachet. I think in a different system, in Sean Payton's system, he could truly thrive. If he doesn't ultimately win the job in training camp, number one, I'll be surprised. But number two, his chance, I believe, will come during the regular season at some point. And I think that he's going to take full advantage of it.
Well, listen, everybody talked about the 30 interceptions that Jameis threw back in 2019. But what a lot of people neglect to say is Jameis also threw 30 touchdowns and over 5,000 yards. Clearly, Jameis Winston is a very talented quarterback. He's a guy that went number one overall. And so everyone talks about Taysom. Taysom Hill is a Swiss Army knife. That's all fine and dandy, but at the end of the day, you still got to play the quarterback position. And between the two, Jameis Winston is a more talented passer of the football than Taysom Hill, and that's going to be the guy that's going to win this job.
RC, it feels like the Saints offense would have more margin for error with Jameis Winston because of his more complete throwing skill set. What do you believe the team's ceiling is if Jameis does win this starting job?
You know, that's the hard part, right? This is a totally different team. We don't truly know what this team looks like for 17 games without Drew Brees, what this offense will be. Obviously, it'll be Kamara heavy, or, you know, we'll see a lot of Michael Thomas, but you lose Cook. You also look at the defensive side, losing Janoris Jenkins, Trey Hendrickson, he moves on to Cincinnati. So this isn't the Saints team we've seen for the last 3 or 4 years. So Jameis Winston is going to have to add to this offense. He's going to have to add an element of pushing the ball down the field. And I believe that this team can be a winning team. But when you look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers being in your division, obviously the superior team with the superior roster, you think the Carolina Panthers should be better this year. And obviously the Atlanta Falcons changing coaches and probably dialing it back. But this is going to be a tough year for this team. We won't see the 13-4 season. I don't believe we see the 12-5 season. This is going to be a team, to me, that hovers a little bit above 500 unless Jameis Winston truly has an explosive impact on this offense to make up for some of the deficiencies we could see defensively.
By the way, Ryan, I love the expectations that feel to be set right now for the Saints, which are a little bit lower for a quarterback experience. Like, stepping into Drew Brees' shadow, into those footsteps, is going to be a difficult task. Who better than a quarterback with a lot of experience, a lot of upside, but very low expectations at this point in his career? I think this is actually set up really nicely for the Saints.
Now, before we move on to the ESPYs, shout out to Ryan Clark for already knowing 12-5, 13-4. As far as I'm concerned, it's a 16-game season. Until we actually get to this year.
True.
Well done by you, RC. Now we move forward to the 2021 ESPYs, which will take place tomorrow night at 8 Eastern on ABC. It will be presented live from the rooftop at Pier 17 at the Seaport in New York City. There are plenty of NFL stars nominated for awards, starting with the best NFL player. You may have heard of this guy, Super Bowl 55 MVP Tom Brady, nominated after winning his seventh Lombardi Trophy. But Aaron Rodgers, 2020 NFL MVP. It's not all about the quarterbacks, though, as Defensive Player of the Year Aaron Donald is up for the award, as is Offensive Player of the Year Derrick Henry. RC, right back to you. If you were casting a vote, it's not too late to do exactly that. Who would you be voting for as the NFL Player of the Year?
Oh, so I get my vote. See, I thought we were just saying who we thought were going to win it. My vote's always Aaron Donald. Anything, any NFL question, it's Aaron Donald. I think Aaron Donald is the best player in the league by far. I think he's the best player by position. If you ask anybody in the world who's the best defensive tackle in the world, it's Aaron Donald. You ask him who's second, they don't really care. You can't say that about quarterback. You can't say that about running back. Now, Aaron Rodgers will probably win the award because, unlike what you just said, Field, it is only about the quarterbacks in this world. But Aaron Donald is the best football player living.
Well, listen, I agree. I think Aaron Donald plays his position much better than any other player plays their position. But in this particular case, I'm going to go with Thomas Edward Brady, considering the fact that he moves on from New England after 20 years. Hey, don't matter.
Oh, my. You Patriot guys.
From New England from 20 years and then go down to Tampa with no offseason, new system, and all you do is go out there and win the Super Bowl. So, yeah, listen, I understand the Aaron Donald talk. I'm with you. But I'm going with that Thomas Edward Brady cat down there in Tampa living his best life.
Doesn't Tom have enough trophies, Wood? Like, you Patriot guys have to stop jeffing and have to stop caping for Tom Brady to get all the awards. I mean, he's on all these different shows. He's talking crap about Aaron Rodgers on the golf course. Can somebody else win a trophy, Wood? It doesn't always have to be you guys and Thomas Brady.
Ryan, I have some bad news for you. Go ahead, Damian.
No, I'm just saying, you know, Ryan feeling good. He out in Vegas, you know, living his best life out there. Don't be mad at me. Don't be mad at me because I played with the Patriots. You know, I'm just trying to, show a little love here.
And Damian, as we all know,
he's not going to send you any free TB12 protein powder just because you said he should win this award.
Well, we all know the end result is that Tom is going to take this tiny morsel of disrespect that he's going to interpret from RC and turn it into about 6 more Super Bowl wins going forward.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
All right, so Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce are having plenty of fun at the American Century Celebrity Golf Championship in Lake Tahoe, and they're just 2 of the many NFL stars playing in the event. Kelce was asked about the Chiefs' Super Bowl 55 loss to the Bucs this week, and here's what he had to say. Quote, "That was pretty embarrassing, man, taking that loss down there in Tampa, man. If you're not motivated after taking a shellacking like that, I don't know what's wrong with you. I want to go win one more than I ever wanted to get one in the first place, and that's everybody in that building." All right, Jeff, I'll turn to you first. How are the Chiefs preparing for another run at the Super Bowl?
Well, I've had conversations fielded with several players on the Chiefs, and they all do sort of have that same vibe that Kelce alluded to there, which, by the way, is a pretty scary thing when you consider the fact that they did get to the Super Bowl, and it felt like part of the reason they lost it was just how decimated they were on the offensive line. They have reboosted that position. They are reloaded on the offensive line. And they've returned pretty much everybody else. So it is a dangerous situation when you're a Chiefs team that is loaded up and also motivated. So I think that Kelce speaks for his team there. And I think as a result, the rest of the league should probably be on notice.
Well, if they can make it back to the Super Bowl, they would be just the first team since the Patriots in 2016 to 2018 to reach the Super Bowl 3 straight times. And that's only happened once in the past 25 years. Not bad company to keep. So moving from a team that's trying to replicate the Patriots to the Patriots, as their all-pro cornerback Stephon Gilmore skipped the team's mandatory minicamp while he holds out for a new contract. Gilmore, the 2019 Defensive Player of the Year, is due a $7 million base salary this season. That's the final of a 5-year deal he inked with New England back in 2017. Here's what he had to say to veteran NFL reporter Josina Anderson. Quote, "I just want what I'm worth, however that plays out. Every player should be paid what they're worth. That's just how it is. Hopefully we can find some common ground and get it situated. I just know what I bring to the table and my style of play." All right, Jeff, where do things stand with Gilmore and the Patriots?
Well, Gilmore is projected to earn this season. He's slated to earn $7 million, and that puts him definitely at the bottom portion of the starting cornerback hierarchy, 25th in the NFL, for a guy who is a shutdown corner for the Patriots. The problem here is that the Patriots have already moved money around when it comes to his contract, so his cap hit is actually pretty high. This is not as easy as simply incentivizing him or maybe throwing him a few million dollars just on top of this. It likely would take a new contract or an extension to make Gilmore happy. One added note that we should point out, he did have off-season surgery. If he's not ready for training camp, that would be not necessarily requiring a holdout, which would cost him $50,000 a day. He would essentially be a hold-in, in camp, and potentially still on the sideline. So a little bit of a sticky situation as Gilmore does approach training camp for the Patriots and that potential extension.
The hold-in, I like what you did there. We see that on occasion from players looking for a new deal, but that tight hamstring or whatever it might be keeps them off the field until it's done. So, RC, the Patriots aren't frequently known for being the team that breaks the bank for one player. Do they need to change that mindset for Gilmore?
They aren't. I mean, you look at the Patriots offseason, we were raving about what they did early in free agency, but they didn't just go out and break the bank for anybody. The Brinks truck wasn't necessarily backed up to front doors. They went out and they made smart moves. They got value guys. They got guys to build a team around. And when you have a dude like J.C. Jackson, who's undrafted, who goes and is one of the top interception leaders in the league, you feel like you can develop talent. And when you look at this team, it seems like they're based and they're willing to just put piece by piece together in order to build the team that can win a championship. And so now looking at Stephon Gilmore, he's 30 years old now. He's been injury riddled the last season. Yes, it's hard to forget what he was when he was the defensive player of the year. But if he's going to go in and ask for Jalen Ramsey money, I don't believe that Bill Belichick and the Patriots will be willing to do that. So he talked about getting this situated. If getting this situated is getting him paid more than he's getting paid now, because we all know he is worth more than that, then that makes sense. But if he's going to ask to be the top paid corner in the league, I don't think the Patriots are willing to do that. So it will be truly interesting to see how this plays out. And you heard Jeff talk about Holden. Listen, there was a guy that once played in Jacksonville, and I think he had like a tight back or hamstring injury, because those are hard to prove. Now that dude got $100 million in L.A.
Well, listen, yeah, RC, you hit it on the head, man. One thing about the Patriots as it relates to the salary cap, they have like one big middle class. You know, it's rare that you see guys that's breaking the bank as far as top tier guys. Everyone kind of floating in that middle class. And I think we all can agree that Stephon Gilmore is underpaid. You know, he a couple years ago, he was the defensive player of the year. But, you know, just with the Patriot way, they know how to go after certain guys, plug them in, ask them to do a certain job. And I don't think the Patriots are going to go out there and break the bank for a guy who's 30 years old as a defensive back. So everyone on this panel feels like Stephon Gilmore is underpaid, but the way New England rolls, they're not going to go out there and go break out a new contract for him. So unless he gets traded, I just don't see a new contract for Stephon Gilmore.
Worth noting, with an eye towards the future, that both Stephon Gilmore and J.C. Jackson, who RC was talking about, are currently scheduled to be free agents after this season. Hey, we told you this already, but a reminder, the 2021 ESPYs will take place tomorrow night at 8 Eastern on ABC. It will be presented live from the rooftop of Pier 17 at the Seaport in New York City. Some of the world's best athletes and biggest stars will join host Anthony Mackie for the three-hour event. And one of the most anticipated categories at the ESPYs is the best play. And the final four nominees include plays from DeAndre Hopkins, Simone Biles, Jamil Roberts, and DK Metcalf. Let's take a look at those four moments a little bit closer. First, of course, the Hail Mary. DeAndre Hopkins caught this desperation pass from Kyler Murray over three defenders in the final seconds of the Cardinals' Week 10 game against the Bills last season, giving Arizona an improbable 32-30 win. Wow, and you can't have a list of the best plays without Simone Biles, who became the first woman to land the famous Yurchenko double pike vault in competition in May. Biles will compete for the U.S. Olympic team in Tokyo later this month, and it doesn't get much more dramatic than this. Marshall Sr., Jamil Roberts scored a goal in overtime of the national championship game against Indiana to give the unseeded Thundering Herd their first national title in soccer. And back to football for a second. We all remember DK Metcalf's incredible chase down of Buda Baker. The final nominee, the Seahawks receiver, reached a max speed of more than 22 miles per hour to prevent Baker from returning a Russell Wilson interception for a touchdown back in their Week 7 matchup. Damian, I love that play. Which play of these four would you be voting for if you had the final vote?
Well, listen, Simone Biles is in a category all in of itself. Yes. But if we're going to stick with football, I'm going with DK Metcalf, man, because listen, that's all hustle and heart right there. When you have a turnover and then you got to sprint all the way down. I mean, this dude took it to about three or four other levels to go down and chase Buda Baker, who is not slow, by the way. So kudos to DK Metcalf. That's who I'm giving my vote to.
Yeah. Hey, I'm with you. I'm with you on Simone Biles, man. Anytime you got moves that they're naming after you, you should have your own category.
Right.
So we should just give her an award at the ESPYs and just call her the GOAT of all GOATs, and we'll just let that be that. But ain't no way I'm finna come out here and say DK Metcalf chasing down a safety is the play of the year. Now, I also don't like my other option, because now I gotta pick a wide receiver going up and Jimboing, tapping the top of his head over three defenders. But that DeAndre Hopkins play, the Hail Mary, was absolutely crazy. I thought the game was over. We got a 5'6" quarterback rolling out to his left, throwing and looking at the Jumbotron as his superhuman wide receiver goes up with hands that must be quadruple X and catches a big time ball over these dudes in the end zone. And it was the you got mossed of the year. And the only thing I'm gonna say about the DK Metcalf play is this. It couldn't have been the play of the year if I would have intercepted it. You know why? Because he would have caught me on the other 30, so he would have never got up to 22 miles per hour.
Come on now, RC. We know you're fast. So, you give yourself credit.
So, So this is really all about the fact that a safety guy just got ran down. That's what this is really all about. That's why 100%. RC is so mad right now.
It's about loyalty.
Yeah, okay.
It's about loyalty. Same way you think Tom Brady should win everything.
Of course. Those safeties stick together. We know how it is here on NFL Live.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to NFL Live. We've seen these specialty position camps start to pop up all over the place this offseason. Players teaching their opponents? That's right. George Kittle and Travis Kelce had a tight end university outside of Nashville for some of the best tight ends to learn the tricks of the trade. Meanwhile, Von Miller might be the originator as he has held a pass rush summit for the last 5 years. All the best defensive linemen show off their best moves. And that meant someone had to get the offensive linemen together to make sure they weren't losing any ground on those pass rushers. That man joins us now. It's a pleasure to be joined by Eagles All-Pro right tackle and Super Bowl champion Lane Johnson from the 4th Annual O-Line Mastermind Summit. Lane, thanks for joining us. What can you tell us about the origins of this summit?
Well, it came from an idea from a good friend, Duke Mannyweather, who trains offensive linemen year-round. So he came up with that a few years ago. We wanted to get guys from around the league to come in a few weeks before camp starts, break down film of opposing defensive ends and defensive tackles, and really just discuss football and kind of get back in that mode before camp starts. So it's been really successful the past few years, I think. The number's up to 150 this year. I think it was around 70 last year. So good turnout and O-line coaches here. So a lot of guys just talking ball.
Hey, what's up, Lane? It's Damian Woody, man. Hey, we know the Von Miller has his pass rushing camp with all those guys, all the top pass rushers in the league. What are you guys trying to get out of with this O-line summit, you know, going up against all those pass rushers?
I think what we can get from this is I feel like every player has their own certain style of play, and it's an art form. So there's many ways to attack a defender, and I think getting all these guys here and allowing them to discuss their plan of attack, how they go about their work week, how they practice, and I think guys can just take bits and pieces from people's games and implement it into theirs. And so that's probably been the biggest factor so far, and really just a great way to get the guys talking and get some on-field work too.
Lane, you talked about how you guys are watching tons of film of the best on defense in the NFL. Are there some guys that have come to mind as some of the most feared pass rushers to face on Sundays?
Well, I'll say Aaron Donald's pretty far up there. luckily, I don't go against him that much. He's with the guards a lot, but you know, you got the Von Millers, the Chandler Jones, the Khalil Macks, the Marcus Lawrence, guys like that, Joey Bosa's, the Bosa brothers. So, really, I mean, we're going to be showing a lot of guys. But, you know, really, there is no end-all, be-all. We're trying to get a breakdown on these guys and try to help us out a little bit.
150
something to take to camp.
150 offensive linemen is incredible. Let's turn to your current team, the Eagles. We saw you were excited about Jalen Hurts, and here's what you said, quote, the things he can do on the field, he can scramble outside of the pocket. When that happens, man, it makes it a little easier for the offensive line. Whenever you have a mobile quarterback back there, the pass rushers approach the pass rush a little bit differently. Instead of maybe running the hoop, they're taught not to break contain because if they do, he can scramble for 10 or 15 and get a quick first down. Can you take us inside what it was like during the second half of last season with all that turmoil and change at quarterback for you guys?
Yeah, I was sidelined with the injury, but from what I saw, it was I felt like he handled it well. He was put into really uncertain positions, but when he played well and showed flashes. So it's been a good offseason for us as a team, for Jalen. And I know he's ready to get in the camp and get the ball rolling and get a full season under his belt. So we're all excited and really just kind of waiting to see what happens.
You've got a new head coach this year, which is Nick Sirianni. What are your first impressions of him as he enters his first season, not just as your head coach, but an NFL head coach?
he's taking a great command of the team early on. I think what I appreciate about him most is he holds everybody accountable. So when we go to practice, it doesn't matter if you're a veteran, a rookie, first day. If you're making mistakes, he'll push you on the board. And not to, you know, call you out, but really to kind of get you better. And I think what that shows, if he can do that with veterans, then the younger guys will come along as well. So that's been my impression early on. It's been a lot of fun and really a lot of energy. So, but moving forward, man, we have a lot to prove, a lot to prove.
Hey, Lane, man, enough of this football stuff, man. I want to talk about the real athletes as far as the offensive line is concerned. I know we got a highlight from you posting on social media, you dunking the ball. Take us through why offensive linemen are the best athletes on the field with this dunk.
I would say the defensive ends are probably maybe number one. I mean, tackles, I mean, you look across the league, you see guys like Trent Williams. A guy that I like watching growing up was Joe Staley. People don't know this about him, is that he ran the 200, I believe, 21 seconds or somewhere around mm-hmm. there. So really fast, really explosive. So, I mean, you get these guys on the edges, you got to have some quick feet. So and a lot of guys have ex-track backgrounds, ex-basketball backgrounds. And so I wish I was still playing basketball. I think it's a little bit easier on your body, but it turned out all right.
Well, we here at NFL Live are going to make sure that we continue to give lots of love to the offensive linemen who can certainly move. And we thank you, Lane Johnson. Again, Eagles All-Pro right tackle and the man behind, at least one of the two men behind, the O-Line Mastermind Summit. Congrats on all the success there and best of luck this season.
Appreciate you.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
That's right, the Cowboys will be on this year's edition of Hard Knocks, and we'll try to reverse a recent trend. Only one of the last six teams to appear on Hard Knocks has made the playoffs in that season. That was the 2020 Rams, and Dallas missed the playoffs the previous two times they were on the show, both in 2002 and then again in 2008. RC, the Cowboys might be under more pressure than anyone in the NFL. That happens to them frequently. Could Hard Knocks be a distraction for them?
Nah, man, Jerry Jones is their owner. If anybody or anything is a distraction, it would be him. And let's be honest, the Cowboys should be on Hard Knocks every single year. Like, let's stop trying to act like this team isn't a soap opera. You saw what we said. Love them or hate them, you can't look away. Listen, this team is Floyd Mayweather. This team is Conor McGregor. It just happens to be a lot of people that make up the organization. The Cowboys need to be worried about stopping people on defense. Can Dan Quinn get this defense to stop a nosebleed, as our colleague Bart Scott would say? It's not about whether or not they have cameras on them every day, because what team do we cover more? What team do we talk about more? Whether they're 11 and 6 or 6 and 11, we will be speaking about the Dallas Cowboys. Dak Prescott is poised. He's healthy. He's ready to go. I believe this team is motivated. And if they can stop people on defense, we'll be looking back at this team like the 2020 Rams, saying now that there are two teams that were starred or featured on Hard Knocks that made the playoff, because the Dallas Cowboys can't do it.
Yeah, listen, RC is right, man. We're talking about the Dallas Cowboys here. When was the last time you heard of Dallas Cowboys being distracted by anything? We constantly talk about the Dallas Cowboys. And yeah, make no mistake about it. There's no excuses when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys. Listen, Dak Prescott got paid, okay? Zeke Elliott, from what everybody talking about down in Dallas, is in the best shape of his life. We'll see about that. They're getting three offensive linemen, starting offensive linemen back, so that should help their offense. Dan Quinn is coming in as being a defensive coordinator. They can't be any worse than they were on defense, so they should be better on defense. So, listen, the cameras around or not, we're going to always be talking about the Dallas Cowboys. And I'm picking them to win the NFC East, and damn it, they better not let me down.
Well, they better win. Look at them. Look at this team. I mean, this is what Jerry Jones has been building for. Now he's got his quarterback in place. He's got a defensive coordinator. He's got the whole deal. They better win, and they better not be distracted. By the way, I don't think that it's 2021. Like, I don't think players get distracted by cameras anymore. I mean, they got cameras in their faces all the time. They're posting their own content. Like, these guys
That's
aren't
very
even bummed
true.
Out about a couple
That's
of cameras around. And this, by the way, this is also Dallas. I've been to a lot of press conferences in Dallas where they got cameras in these guys' faces every second of every access period. No distractions when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys. But they better win.
Instagram Live, TikTok, social media is everywhere, to your point. Tomorrow night, we have the 2021 ESPYs at 8 Eastern on ABC, and they will be presented live from the rooftop at Pier 17 at the Seaport in New York City. As we continue to look at some of the nominees, here are the finalists for Breakthrough Athlete. Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert was the Offensive Rookie of the Year last season, throwing an NFL rookie record 31 touchdown passes. Only Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, and Tom Brady averaged more passing yards per game than Herbert in 2020. LaMelo Ball was named the NBA Rookie of the Year this season. The Hornets guard filled up the stat sheet in his first year in the league, averaging nearly 16 points per game, over 6 assists, plus 5.9 rebounds in 51 games. Minnesota Lynx guard Crystal Dangerfield was a WNBA Rookie of the Year last season. She led the team with over 16 points per game, and how about this, became the first player in WNBA history to win Rookie of the Year despite not being drafted in the first round. And Washington football team defensive end Chase Young is the reigning Defensive Rookie of the Year. He led all rookies in sacks, fumble recoveries, and pressures last season. He was also selected to the Pro Bowl. All right, now we get to go for one more vote here. RC, I'll let you take the pick here. Who are you voting for the Breakthrough Athlete of the Year?
Listen, I know this is NFL Live, but I'm going with LaMelo Ball. If not for any reason that he broke the curse of Michael Jordan, Adam Morrison, Kwame Brown, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, all those dudes, not very good. But Michael Jordan actually got this one right. And listen, having LaVar Ball as a daddy and having all the expectations, all the eyes on you, and to come out and play this well, they didn't even want to start LaMelo Ball at the beginning of the season, and this dude flat out went crazy. And I don't care that Damian Woody has his hand on his face. We already had to watch big dudes catching footballs. We already had to see DK Metcalf running after Buda Baker. We had to listen to Tom Brady wins another trophy. So if I want to pick a basketball player for an award, I can do that. I can branch out and do other sports. And so guess what, Damian Woody? That's right. LaMelo Ball should win this award. He's the breakout player of this year.
See, I finally figured this whole thing out. See, what? RC is out in Las Vegas. He going to the big MMA fight. Now he's a big MMA star. Yep. He's talking about basketball. RC is basically like, the hell with football. I'm not even going to associate myself with football anymore. I'm going to just talk about
football.
Every other sport besides football on a football show.
Stephen
okay?
A. Clark.
I'm going with Justin Herbert because basically Justin Herbert, he started playing with a bad injection from Tyrod Taylor, put him on the field in the last second, and the man didn't look back ever since. And all he did was go out and probably have the best rookie quarterback season in NFL history. So shout out to Justin Herbert. I'm gonna give you props on a football show, unlike RC, who's gonna talk about every other sport outside of football on a football show.
Woody, they gave me the options. These people are up for the award. Had they told me something else, I would have picked something different. And listen, just because you played center and you were in close contact with quarterbacks your whole life don't mean you got to vote for them for everything. That's not how it works anymore. Come on, you don't have to be the Jeff Saturday to every Peyton Manning. Golly.
Man, RC bringing the heat today. And RC, as we now know, has muscle on his side. Check out RC and Daniel Cormier's new show on ESPN+.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Prior to the 2021 NFL Draft, most of the speculation regarding the 49ers' decision to pick 3 overall was which quarterback it would take. That, of course, wound up being Trey Lance, but Rams head coach Sean McVay couldn't help but think the 49ers may have considered going a more unexpected route by taking tight end Kyle Pitts out of Florida. Here's McVay from the flying coach.
I thought there was a possibility that Kyle was going to go Pitts at 3.
Really?
And say, you know what? No, in all seriousness, because he's such a visionary. I'm telling you, I didn't think it was going to be a crazy thought, because you go back to when New England had the two tight end set and they were doing things totally different. You think about what Kittle, and then, you know, the thing that makes sense is that, hey, Jimmy's produced all the way. This isn't a production thing. This is an availability thing.
Damian, could you imagine those two, George Kittle and Kyle Pitts together?
Hell no. Could you, man, that's crazy. 12 personnel, you got George Kittle and Kyle Pitts on the field. You got George Kittle lined up, you know, lined up in line, and then Kyle Pitts, you know, flexed out. Man, that's that. Who's stopping that, man? Who's stopping that? There's nobody in the league is stopping that, bro.
Man, everybody's stopping that because the quarterback was still going to be Jimmy Garoppolo. They moved up to 3 not because they knew they wanted, they knew which quarterback they wanted. They moved up to 3 because they knew they didn't want Jimmy G anymore.
Man, Jimmy G, the clock is ticking. Let's get to our one more thing for today. And as we've been telling you, UFC 264 from T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas is tomorrow, with Conor McGregor squaring off against Dustin Poirier in the lightweight main event, their trilogy fight. The main card starts at 10 Eastern, and our own Ryan Clark has a new show coming out, RC and DC, with Daniel Cormier. Congrats on branching out to some MMA art. Ryan, now that you're doing both sports, what's the biggest similarity from the NFL to the UFC?
It's obviously takedowns, right? When you look at guys getting into the mix, right, being able to duck the jab, right, or duck the attack, get in, get the double leg takedown, or if it's a single leg and you could get them up against the fence and slide them down, it's all about getting people to the ground. And that's what we do. We get people to the ground defensively in the NFL. Now, are we trying to do this with a dude trying to take our head off, or maybe with a spinning back fist? No, we don't have to do it then, but you still have to have the same type of principles. For 4 years, I trained in this, and it made me an okay tackler.
I just want to know, is Ryan Clark going to ever talk about football again? I know, you know,
wow,
he's big time in Las Vegas, you know, going to the fight.
Wow.
But I mean, is he going to talk about football again? That's what I want to know.
I bet if Tom Brady is talking, you listen.
We've got a huge weekend ahead on ESPN ABC and the ESPN app. Talk to you Monday.